Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
All right, boys and girls, it's Dallas. Last episode of season one. Here's the last episode of season one, Padres canon. I gotta say a big thank you to everybody who listened, who voted, who had an opinion. Some of your opinions were wrong, some of your opinions were right. But it's been a fantastic, unbelievable season one of the Padres canon, the first ever Padres podcast dedicated to who belongs in the annals of history of the Padres. It's official, it's unofficial, and it's unofficially, officially unofficial. We've done it. We made it happen. To recap, Phil Nevin did make it in just barely. He made it into the Padres canon, so at this moment, we need to take off our hats, put back on our shoes, and then put on our wraparound sunglasses, just like the Nev would have worn, and it's time we welcome Phil Nevin into the official, unofficial Padres canon. Welcome in, Nevin. I get you deserved it. You deserve it. You really do. You got us through some really lean, terrible years, and we should always be appreciative. So thank you very much, Mr. Phil Nevin. The last episode of the season is such a fun one. I'm so happy that we got to do this episode. And then we'll be back in a couple weeks. A couple weeks, we will be back to denounce what's happening with season two. Season two is going to be fun. We're going to get some more candidates in the mix and kind of have a new process of how we're going to do the canon in general. I'm just excited to kind of unveil it and see where it goes. Again, big thank you to everyone who listened to season one. A big thank you to all my guests who came on season one with their fantastic candidates. It was such a fun time. And please continue to listen to the Kept Faith, support the Kept Faith, support the Padres. And we will see you in just a few weeks with season two. But in the meantime, please welcome our season one finale with Mr. Ben Higgins and his fantastic nominee. All right, we are back with another exciting edition of Padres Canon. Thanks, everybody, for voting. And thank you for listening. Of course, we welcome back San Diego broadcasting legend. And honestly, that's not a title that I think is a joke at all. I think you have been in most of our lives for a long time. And we also like you. You're likable. That's the best part. From Ben and Woods in the Morning on 97.3. Did I get it right?
Yeah, right. 97.3,
yes. The Fan, Mr. Ben Higgins. Welcome, sir.
I don't know the difference between being likable and just being not dislikable, which I may fall in the latter category, but either way, I appreciate that, Dallas.
I've never heard a bad word about you, and I would say that's likable.
Not dislikable. It's, if you hear a lot of good words about me, I'm likable. If you don't hear a bad word about me, I'm not dislikable.
True. Well, then where does that put your partner, Woods? Because that's a muddy, muddy area. That's a gray area.
A lot
area.
Of both, isn't he?
Well, obviously, Ben is a legendary morning radio host here in San Diego. If you listen to morning radio in San Diego for the Padres, Ben and Woods is your stop. And you were with us last time with a shoo-in candidate. And this time, I think I want to say it's a shoo-in, but I don't know. Since you told me this, I'm going back and forth in my brain. I could see it. I could see him getting in. I could see him not getting in. Ben, who did you bring for the Padres canon this time?
His name is Ted Giannoulis, but he is better known as the world famous San Diego Chicken.
I love this. I love this pick. This is such a fantastic pick. It does, obviously, if you haven't listened before, the canon isn't the Hall of Fame. It's not just for players. It's for people who belong in the history of the San Diego Padres. I'm going to find a hard argument to say he doesn't belong, but there's just a lot of controversy with the San Diego Chicken. I'll give you some quick background and then we'll get into why you think he deserves inclusion. The San Diego Chicken was obviously a promotional character from KGB way, way back in 1974. Ted Giannoulis was hired to wear the chicken suit. He was a journalism major at SDSU, which I think is funny to go into journalism and then wind up in a chicken suit. But we've all been there. We've all been there. And then it just kind of started to tumble from there. The chicken became very popular. And to me, as a child of the 80s, this kind of a promotion really makes a lot of sense. Something really kind of dumb and kitschy. It just storms
storms the airwaves. And that's what happened with the Chicken. He became the San Diego Chicken. He was a staple at San Diego Padres games. He became everywhere once it became popular. Jack Murphy, our own Jack Murphy, once described him as an embryonic Charlie Chaplin in chicken feathers, which I believe is one of the finest quotes a broadcaster has ever come up with. He also made his way to Clippers games. He wound up at All-Star games. A lot of people credit the Chicken as the beginning of a mascot revolution, which you'd be hard pressed to disagree with. Ben, what is your reasoning for deciding that the Chicken should be included in the Padres canon?
Well, first of all, Dallas, the San Diego Chicken was part of my formidable days of becoming a Padres fan. He began his relationship with the Chicken costume in the 1970s, but it was 1979 when he first became a regular at Padres games. And I was a impressionable four-year-old coming to games with my dad and grandpa back then. And honestly, while I was starting to get into baseball, the reason I like to go to games is I wanted to see what the Chicken was going to do. That was the entertainment of going to a Padres game. Couldn't really name any of the players back then until Tony Gwynn came along. I don't know if I could name any of the players, but in between innings, that's when the real show started, when Ted would start with his skits out there as the famous San Diego Chicken. There's so many different points that I could make in his favor. My favorite one, though, is he's the only person on earth who makes Joe West even reasonably likable. Because Joe West, Cowboy Joe, one of probably everybody's least favorite umpires in baseball history, has a very long and special relationship with the Chicken. He would cooperate and even actually help him come up with some of the skits that involve the umpires when Joe West was umpiring games. In fact, one of the great stories is, and one of the most famous Chicken sketches is when the Chicken gets the little mini chickens in their suits, and then he leads them around and eventually leads them past the umpire, and they each lift their leg in turn on the umpire as they walk by. Now, first of all, that doesn't even make sense. Chickens don't lift, dogs lift their legs. Chickens yeah. don't lift their legs. So that makes no sense whatsoever. Yet it probably goes down as the most memorable favorite skit anytime that he performs it. Well, Joe West loves to tell the story that one time, one of the mini chickens was a 12-year-old Nick Swisher before he ever became a Major League Baseball player. Wow. And Joe West says, Nick Swisher's the only player I ever let pee on my leg. if you can get Joe West to be likable, that is an accomplishment in and of itself. But also, I think that he belongs in Padres canon because he's the only person who ever really brought that San Diego Padres brand outside of San Diego. The Padres have always been one of the most anonymous teams in baseball. Other than Tony Gwynn, you know, a couple of players in the first, 35 years plus of the organization, you couldn't get people outside of Southern California or even San Diego to name, you know, more than a handful of players. But everyone around America knows the Chicken because they saw him at a minor league park, at a major league park. He performed hundreds of times, you know, throughout seasons and made his way to every corner, every stadium, performing his stuff. And he was always known as the San Diego Chicken. He was such a great ambassador for our city and for the San Diego Padres, the team that he was most closely associated with over the years. The longevity he was 20 years old when he first donned the Chicken costume. He most recently performed at a Padres game in 2019 when he was honored, 65 years old. And this is not an easy job. I mean, you can say he puts on a chicken suit and it's, does a little shtick. It's physical comedy. It is taxing. If you watch what he does, it's an exhausting routine that he performs, every single night to delight baseball fans really around the globe that he has done as that ambassador. It is incredibly impressive what he has made for himself in a chicken costume over the years. And I just don't think that you could have a Padres canon. I know people think players, coaches, front office, whatever, without including the San Diego Chicken.
I don't know who's going to disagree with that statement. I'm sure somebody will. And it's crazy because we do say he's the San Diego Chicken. We mentioned him as the San Diego Chicken, but in 1979, he had to drop the name San Diego, I believe 79. I may be getting that wrong. I'm going to check that real quick. Because he had to change, the KGB owned the rights to that name, and they parted ways. And he was able to keep the character, but then change it to the Famous Chicken. He was all of a sudden the Famous Chicken. But still,
on the field at Jack Murphy Stadium to the 2001 Space Odyssey music. Yes. One of his signature moments, the rebirth of the chicken. But he still, to everyone, was known as the San Diego.
The San Diego Chicken. Yeah, exactly. I mean, my dad, you know, for God's sakes, lives in Ohio and has his whole life. And that he would never call him the Famous Chicken. He knows the San Diego Chicken. His impact is pretty legendary. And obviously, he's had some run-ins with controversy. Obviously, there was whatever conflict he had with KGB, but that was decided in his favor. And then he was so popular that he, in 1991, was at a Chicago Bulls game. He was just performing at a Chicago Bulls game, because why don't you want the Famous Chicken at a Bulls game? And he tackled a cheerleader and injured her, and he was sued for that event. So there's a lot of controversy that it was him tackling her, him being physical with her. There's a lot of stories that get thrown around. I choose to stay out of it. You can make your own determination. And then I love this. I don't know if you knew this, but in 1998, the Barney and Friends franchise sued the chicken because he did a little sketch where he was dancing. He did a little dance contest against a Barney like character, and he won the suit. I just love that there was a courtroom battle. And in my mind, just so you know, on one side is the chicken in the chicken outfit. On the other side is Barney in the dinosaur outfit.
Real Clarence Darrow stuff. Barney v. Chicken.
Exactly.
You know, going all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, I would watch that movie, no doubt.
I'd watch it immediately. So he's had his controversy. But like you said, he made his last appearance in 2019. And I, for one, as I'm recording this, don't even realize that behind the computer sits my San Diego Chicken bobblehead that I got from one of the last games at Jack Murphy Stadium, where he appeared and made an appearance. And I remember that being one of the, like, I don't know how you felt about the Q, Jack Murphy. To me, it was where I grew up, and I really loved that stadium. Petco is fantastic, but there's just an emotional connection with Jack Murphy, and I went to a lot of games. I didn't get emotional though until that night with the chicken, when he, you know, did a whole routine, and I had tears in my eyes watching the chicken. And my girlfriend at the time was very, very concerned about why her boyfriend was crying over a chicken at a baseball game. But
you know, Petco Park is vastly superior in every way, really imaginable, to Jack Murphy Stadium. However, I don't think the chicken would have ever become the chicken at Petco the way he did at the Murph. And I think a big reason for that is those wide concourses that wrapped around the whole stadium, where he could, throughout the course of a game, you know, yeah, he would get on the field in between innings and do his shtick, but during the game, he'd just be walking around and visible to everyone. You mm-hmm. can't walk around visible to everyone at Petco Park. I mean, you're just going to be in front of people the entire time. But at the Murph, you could walk around pretty much the entire ring of the stadium, at least foul pole to foul pole, mm-hmm. and really be seen by everyone in the ballpark at any time. So your reactions, the exaggerated, oh no, when the team strikes out, or the celebrations when there's a Padres home run, he was there for all of it. And you really couldn't do that at Petco. You'd be missing out on so much of the chicken shtick, as he likes to call it.
The chicken shtick. Got to really pronounce that. Yeah, I think it's amazing too. I mean, just reading up, you know, before we were recording, I wanted to get a little history on him. And I didn't know that his first year, he wasn't even allowed on the field. So I think you're dead right. Like, he was just in the stands, messing with people in the stands. That was the agreement. But then
the
people
first time he actually bought a ticket. I mean, he was like an unauthorized. He came in the chicken suit, and the security guard at the gate didn't know what was going on and called up to team president Buzzy Vivace and said, hey, there's a guy in a chicken suit. Should we let him in? And Buzzy Vivace, does he have a ticket? And they said, yeah, I'll let him in. And that was the first time he got into a Padres game.
the legend of Buzzy Vivace lives on. I would love to be in that office where he gets a phone call. There's a guy in a chicken suit and he wants in the ballpark.
By the way, these are things, Dallas, like no self-respecting front office today would even dream of inviting a guy in a chicken suit to the game. I mean, you know, they've got the, you know, they're produced entertainment. It's a choreographed show from inning one to inning nine. It's all sponsored. It's technically great. It's a marvel. It's entertaining. It's fun. But you would never be able to recreate the organic comedy of a San Diego chicken today. I mean, they would be horrified at even the thought of inviting, you know, someone. Now he's got the reputation. You invite the chicken, but like the new chicken, no chance that would ever happen today.
You're totally right. That would have to go through so many levels of approval before they even let him in the door.
Oh yeah.
By the end of it, he would just be standing there and with glued on feathers. Some other notable things about the chicken before we close out here with, I think, an obvious vote, but he was replaced. He was replaced. Ted Giannoulis was replaced in 1981. And this was before the rehatching, obviously, that we spoke about. But in 1981, he was replaced and people, 1979. I had another thing up for 1981, which I'll explain in a minute. 1970 was replaced. People knew about it in San Diego that he was replaced, which is amazing to me because I don't know about things that are happening. And we live in an age where we know we have knowledge at our fingertips at all times, but he was so beloved in 79 that people actually knew that he was fired and replaced to the point where they put the new chicken out on the field and the new chicken was booed so badly immediately that they removed him from the field and he didn't come back.
It's funny. I mean, he's the only mascot that has ever really transcended the suit. I mean, who's the Philly Fanatic? Who's Dinger? You have no idea who any of those guys because it's anonymous, yet he transcended his suit. You can't have the chicken without Ted Giannoulis, which is why there's been talk. Is he going to hand it to someone else? It really, people know that it's not him, so it won't be the same. It doesn't have that longevity. I think in my mind, the chicken retires when Ted once and for all gives up the suit.
I just think it had to be one of the most horrible moments in your life to one, put on a chicken suit, walk out on a field and have 40,000 people boo you off the field. That's one of the moments you don't want to call your dad about. That is embarrassing. The 1981 thing I wanted to bring up, which I think is fantastic, is that there was a children's television series called The Baseball Bunch. I don't know if you ever watched it. I've seen clips. But it featured the chicken, Johnny Bench, and Tommy Lasorda. And they together ran a fictional Little League team. And it won several awards. And it ran for 4 years. All of that is amazing to me. And now I'm on a mission to uncover more videos from the show.
Streaming on Hulu right now. That's what
just the interaction between those three. I've seen Johnny Bench in commercials and I'm a Reds fan since birth, as well as a Padres fan. I love the guy, but boy, is he terrible on camera. I just need to see. Oh my God. It's like the Three Stooges. All right. Well, listen, this has been one of the more, I would say, enlightening episodes about someone's career that maybe people didn't know about. So I'm going to ask you now, Ben, based on everything we've talked about, do you think the San Diego chicken, Ted Giannoulis, should be in the Padres canon?
I brought him to the table for a reason, an absolute yes again.
I can't disagree with you there. I'm going to say yes as well. I mean, there's so many wonderful memories of the San Diego chicken. Now, I do want to bring this up before we say goodbye. Would we feel this way if we were just saying Ted Giannoulis? If he did hand the chicken suit off, would we be inducting just the chicken or would we be inducting Ted Giannoulis? Obviously, we don't have to make that argument now, but going forward, that would be an interesting argument.
One and the same for now. And I hope that's how it always stays, actually.
Yeah, it would be weird to have some weirdo kid out there in the chicken outfit.
That just seems mean at this point, but.
Yeah, well, and we know who it's going to be. It's going to be Woods. He's going to get the outfit. He's going to be out there. Well, listen, Ben, thanks so much for once again joining us on the Padres Canon. Please listen to Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. You guys are 6 to 10 or 5 to what's the hours?
5 to 9.
I remember, I can't listen. I've done morning radio a few times in my life. I don't know how you guys do it. I have no idea how you do it. It's amazing. it's a skill in of itself to be up that early and care about anything.
You know how when you do something just over and over, you just kind of get used to it and you adjust and that's the new normal? That doesn't happen. Sucks getting up when the clock says something that starts with a 4 anytime, no matter what.
I used to, when I did overnights over at FM 94.9, because I was in DJ jail, I was forced to overnights. And, you know, I'll be honest, there's a few times where I fell asleep. I just fell asleep. And the alarms had to go off in the room and wake me back up to, because there was dead air. But, you know, that happens. You never get used to it. You never get used to it. Well, thank you, Ben. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Higgins SD. And obviously, it's your choice now, voters. You get the decision. Does the San Diego Chicken, Ted Deonolis, belong in the Padres canon? Go to the Kept Faith at the Kept Faith. It'll be there in the pinned tweet. Vote yes or no for his inclusion. And we will announce next week if the chicken made it in the canon based on your votes. Thanks again, Ben.
Thanks, Dallas.